Today I'm taking up another psalm of ascent, one of those songs sung as the people of God went to worship the Lord in Jerusalem, usually at those feasts like the Passover. Psalm 133, a song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's very good to have a psalm about peace and unity this time of year, isn't it? We think about peace on earth during the Christmas season. But that peace, this psalm will help you to understand, ultimately only comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The explanation of the psalm is pretty straightforward. Verse 1 gives the principle. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The subject of the psalm is the blessed unity of the people of God. David then gives two examples of that blessing to illustrate it. And these deserve some explanation. He says, first of all, that it's like the precious oil poured out on Aaron's head, running down on his beard and all the way down onto his garments. I don't know about you, but that's not a practice that I'm very familiar with, and I'm pretty sure that neither are you. We don't celebrate the blessing of God or the setting aside for service of someone by pouring oil and perfume on someone's head, and so much that it runs down on their beards and on their clothes. It's just not something that happens today. But it did in David's day. It was a sign of marking off men for ministry, either kings or priests. Holy oil that would be perfumed would be poured on those men's head as they were set aside to serve the Lord. In itself, the oil smelled nice, and so it was good, representing the blessing of unity. It was also poured out in such a liberal fashion that there was so much that it ran down onto all the way down onto the hem of his garments. Also significance of the liberal goodness of God to bring unity to his people. And then the reason for the anointing was also good. Aaron and his sons served as priests before the Lord. They performed sacrifices and they mediated worship. The children of Israel were on their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate that mediation of the priests in worship. And that was good. It's an illustration of the blessing of the unity of God's people. The second example is a little more understandable. The blessing of unity, David compares to the dew on Mount Hermon and descending upon Zion. These mountains were refreshed by dew and water so as to be able to sustain crops and life itself. And that's very understandable, isn't it? Mount Hermon, as one of the common hillsides around Jerusalem is named, probably has in mind the sustaining of life through food. But Mount Zion was the place where the temple was built. That's where the people of God met with the Lord. And it's there that God chose to declare his name and to declare his blessing, life evermore. It's the destination of the people who were singing this psalm. They were singing as they went, "We are going up to Mount Zion, where the blessings of God are distributed." There, David says, God commands his blessing, life forevermore. He commands his blessing. He proclaims the blessing of salvation. He does so in worship. So much so that the people of God longed for that. They longed for the goodness of being in the midst of that worship of God and to know the blessing that comes from him, life forevermore. David does something significant and very poetic here. And those of you who are gifted in poetry may have picked up on this. David weaves together two blessings here and makes them in a sense equal. He weaves together the blessing of unity, which is the beginning of this psalm, very clearly, with the blessing of salvation, which is the close of this psalm, life forevermore. And he brings those two together to say that the blessing of unity is like the blessing of salvation itself. I have to pause and say, wow, what a blessing that is. It's something to thank God for. The blessing of unity is like the blessing of salvation. It's something that we long for and that we labor for. I don't have time to develop that theme this morning, but unity is something that must be worked at to be maintained. It's implied in David's words here. But you know how elusive unity can be. There's so many times that churches divide. There's so many times that we take offense with our brothers and sisters over petty things. So we can say that unity is indeed a sweet fellowship that we long for and that we pray for. For that matter, Jesus himself prayed for such unity. In John 17, the Apostle John describes how on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that our Lord himself prayed for the unity of the church. He prayed that his followers, both his apostles then and the church descending from them, that the church would be unified, would be one, even as the Son is one with the Father. And then Jesus went and laid down his life to accomplish that very thing. He laid down his life for his bride. He laid down his life as the basis of blessing, the blessing of salvation, which we immediately recognize. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But also the blessing of unity is based upon what Jesus has done. He has brought us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. He has done that. The Apostle John captures this in his letter, in his first letter, saying, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Usually we stop the verse right there. There's the blessing of salvation, right? We know love because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But John goes on and says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." There's the blessing of unity, the blessing of peace that comes only through Jesus Christ. The love and the life that you have from Jesus is connected to him as your Savior, but is also connected to your brothers and sisters. Together, we are redeemed by Christ. Together, we worship him. Together, we will be raised and we will live with him forever. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. We will enjoy that for eternity. And we know it right now in the church in Christ. We'll sing this with joy today, recognizing how in Christ we have the blessing of life evermore and the blessing of having brothers and sisters. We'll sing Psalm 133 and use selection A through the month. I invite you to stand to praise God.